How's everybody feeling tonight? You feeling good? I say, how's everybody feeling tonight? Y'all feeling good? That's all right. I get it. I get it. We're talking about feelings today, so this would be good for you guys. Don't feel good today. If you don't feel good, then I'm gonna talk about you today. Maybe I'll talk about myself too. We'll talk about Jesus as well. Man, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's an old song. All right. I'm gonna have a good time tonight. I don't know if you guys are, but I'm gonna have a good time tonight. So let's do this. Let's stop the messing around. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into the word tonight, because maybe you guys are ready for this. So Father God, Lord, we thank you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word stands true. Let every man be found a liar, but God's word, let it stand true. God, that not one punctuation mark, not one dot over the I or cross over the T, let it not pass away. But Father, let us find your truth. Oh God, let us get your truth in us. Let us eat it, that it will become a part of us. So Lord, tonight we pray that you would provide a feast for us of your word. God, that it would encourage us, that it would kick us in the butt. God, that it would open our eyes to the truth. God, Lord, tonight that it wouldn't be an opinion or a good idea or a nice little story, but oh God, tonight that, Lord, we would find your truth, and that it would change us from the inside to the outside. Because we know that your word is able to. God, that your truth is able to. God, it's more than feel good inspiration. God, it's more than just, you know, politeness and manners, but God, it's truth. So Lord, change our lives today. And God, tonight as we pray these things, we pray it over every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire around the world, over our churches out in Coachella and Riverside, San Diego, Lord, that you'd bless them. Just you blessed us today. So God, make this book plain. God, make this book more than a book, but make it life to us as we look into the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. In case you guys don't know, my name is Pastor Richard, and I'm the youth pastor here at the church for all our first-timers and stuff. I'm glad to be here with you guys. And, you know, I want to encourage you guys to buckle in, to listen up, because look, what we're going to talk about today is the difference between, sometimes the difference between jail and, you know, being able to live life. It's the difference between a relationship sticking around or running away. It's the difference between you wanting to go home and the difference between you wanting to run away. Because today we're going to talk about emotions. You know, we're in the second week of this series called Hoarders. And last week we talked about defining trash and treasure, because, you know, the saying goes, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Which I guess one man's treasure would be another man's trash. But the problem is this, is sometimes trash is trash no matter how much somebody treasures it. Some things are just trash, you know. I mean, that's the problem with hoarders. You know, I had a neighbor, and his mom was a hoarder, and she didn't live across the street like my neighbor did, but I knew she was a hoarder because every time she'd pull in to see her son, her little station wagon would be stacked from bottom to ceiling, literally the entire station wagon except for one little 2x4 cube in the driver's seat would be filled with food wrappers, trash, old magazines, newspapers. I mean, literally, McDonald's bags. It was just, she only had just enough room for her to squeeze into the car and drive. And every time she'd pull in, eventually, you know, I heard the story. My dad and my neighbor, they were friends, and they literally filled up 4 industrial-sized dumpsters cleaning her house out when the day came, because she had gathered that much stuff only to start it over again. You see, some trash is just trash, no matter how much you treasure it. So what do you got? Trash or treasure? That was last week. Today I want to talk to you guys about treasure that can turn into trash. Because some treasure has an expiration date at times. If you don't use it like you're supposed to, it can expire. And I know that because my son loves milk. My son is a milkaholic. Everybody, Daddy, can I have some milk? Yeah. He just literally one slurp, breathe, son, breathe. Done. Hey, Daddy, can I have some more milk? My wife laughs because she knows it's true. And that's treasure to him. white gold. But the problem is, if you wait a week or two, that gold can turn to coal. It's bad. It's nasty. I know that because I had recently put expired creamer in my coffee. Remember that, hun? Yeah, she remembers it. That was, I was like, this smells kind of funny, but I'll drink it anyway. And then I was like, plop, 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 plop. It went bad. Very bad. I'm going to tell you about my sour cream. Anyway, whatever. That ain't guacamole. That's what happens. Trash treasure. Trash treasure. And the problem with emotions is they're like that. See, emotions have an expiration date. If you don't do what you're supposed to do with your emotions and you hold on to them, they lose their God-intended purpose. They become painful to you. They become disastrous to you. If you hoard emotions, they become trash. They infect you. They rob you of joy. They steal your destiny because you get stuck with something that literally becomes a parasite in your life. You know, in Philippians, we don't have to turn there, but Philippians 3:8, you know, Paul the Apostle, he says, look, guys, I have every reason to boast. I have every reason to be the top dog. He says, you know, I have the education, the right family, got all these wonderful things. He says, but you know what? When I gave my life to the Lord, I found that everything I thought was valuable was trash. Everything I wanted, every dream I had, I found out that those dreams were false compared to what God had for me. So the things I treasured, I found out they were trash. So, and the things that I thought were trash, I found out that they truly were treasure. So I began to go after the good stuff. So today, some of you guys are carrying around a bunch of garbage that you treasure, even though it's garbage. You know, life is kind of funny because, especially as a teenager, everything can be emotional at times. I'm a man. I'm trying not to get into too much trouble right now, but especially if you're a woman, if you're of a non-male part of the species, everything's emotional. I don't know if it ever changes, but it's just emotional. Even things that aren't emotional become emotional. I put my left shoe on my right foot. No! The pain, the pain! The fashion disaster it is. No! Lord, no! Lord, let it not be! Things that aren't emotional become emotional. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you got it under control. That's cool. Fine. All right, whatever. This part doesn't apply to you. But it happens. And then there's legitimate things. Somebody stabbing you in the back. Getting in an argument with your parents. Being disappointed. You know, those are legit frustrations. Look, I am a father. I know frustration. It is my middle name at times. Daddy what? Daddy what? Daddy what? Daddy what? Daddy, your name is Daddy. Thank you, child. Appreciate that. Never mind. I don't want to go in there. But the problem is this. Is emotions, like I said, they need to be dealt with. And a lot of times, we haven't been taught how to deal with them properly. You see, usually people ascribe to one of two things with emotions. Maybe you're the smart intellectual type, and you find a situation, an emotion, something happens in your life, and you're smart, you're intellectual. You don't have time for emotions. So the problem is, when emotions come, they're there all the time, happening every day. The way people look at you, the way people talk to you, and they become a part of our life. But for us intellectual types, we ignore emotions. They're not important. I'll deal with it later. Does it make sense? Nah, doesn't mean anything to me. Usually people deal with one or two ways. They ignore their emotions, even though the truth of the matter is they're there. Or maybe you're the other kind, the touchy-feely kind. And you have an emotion, a situation, and you cherish your emotions. You revel in your emotions. You love your emotions. You buy waterproof mascara because you know about your emotions. When somebody hurts you, you feel it deeply. When the boxes are too large and you can't grasp it with your small hands, you understand that I hate this and you revel in the fact that your hands are too small. You can't even grip a basketball. And you get angry. So angry, you want to cut a fool. So angry, You wore your big rings today. So angry, you have to put your hair up in a bun, gentlemen. Some of y'all need a haircut, hippie. And you find yourself at the end of the day, at the end of the week, with a bag full of emotions. Maybe emotions that you're hanging on to, emotions that you're prizing, emotions that you think over day in and day out, emotions that you have dreams about that keep you up at night, or maybe you have emotions that you're ignoring. You know they're there. You know you feel this way. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to bother anybody because they don't want to hear about your issues. You don't want to be a burden to me. You know what? I'll deal with them with myself, and we deal with emotions in those two ways, which really are not dealing with them at all because emotions are important, and I'm not here to say you need to be unemotional because then you're just doing, number one, ignoring them. And I'm not saying you need to roll around and revel in them like a piggy in a mud pit, but I am saying this is that if you do those two things, you are not dealing with them. You're hoarding them, saving them for a date that you have yet to determine. Emotions need to be dealt with. Otherwise, just like milk, they spoil. They expire, and they stink, and they taste bad, they get gooey and chunky, and sooner or later, either it kills you, or it comes out and makes a mess on somebody else. You see, you know what I'm talking about? So we have this bag of emotions that we need to deal with. It has to be dealt with, because if you don't, the decisions you make will be made by the emotions that you've ignored or you've treasured. All of a sudden, somebody looks at you the wrong way, and you just had it up to here. You explode, and you let loose on them. Your parent says one thing, and you say things you wish you would never say. It happens to everybody, because every emotion needs to be let go, and it'll either come out bit by bit, or the emotion will come out in one big explosion. I know that, and if you've ever heard my testimony before, you know you've probably heard that in the eighth grade, an emotional breakdown nearly killed a couple people, stabbed some kid in the middle of a class, and had to go see a therapist. You didn't think Pastor Richard gangster? Yeah, brother gangster. Then I got saved, and I'm not. Now I don't know what I am. I just am a different kind of mess. We have a bag that needs to be dealt with. So the question today is this, is which one are you? And are you dealing with them? Because it needs to be dealt with. Because everybody, every day, picks up emotions. Even you happy folk. Did you know happiness is even an emotion that can spoil? Because what happens is it becomes discontent. People that hang on to happiness too long says, I wish it could be like the old days. If only it was. I remember when. And you live in a state of spoiled happiness, wishing it was. The truth is, it never was really that good. It wasn't really ever that good. But because it's spoiled, it changes the way we see things. Pastor Rich, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. When you find yourself with a bag of emotions, you've got to release it and let it go. Otherwise, it turns into depression, suicide. It turns into rage. It turns into unforgiveness, bitterness. It tears families apart and makes people kick their dogs. That's a sad story. So you've got to do something with them. You see, number one is you can't let emotions become an excuse to you. See, you cannot let an emotion become an excuse, because what happens is people say, oh, I wish, if only I could, I would do this, but I got this baggage. I got this garbage on my back. I help you, but you know what? I don't like you anymore because you did this. This is your trash that I am carrying around. If I was to open it up, I'd find your name all over it with your picture on it, your address, and your shoe size, all up in this bag. This is your fault. You are the reason I cannot go the places I want to go. You're holding me back. You're like, what? I didn't know. When you base your life off of circumstance and emotion, when you base your future off of something outside of yourself, you have stopped your future. Because now that thing that you've based your future off of rules and reigns in your future. See, what happens is anytime you look for an excuse outside of your own heart, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not. Every time you want to see what do I need to go forward, to move forward, you have to look inside your heart. What's in there? What's inside your bag that you need to get rid of? What have you done with it? Anytime you base these things off of outside circumstances, it stops you. Yeah, and you don't got to turn there, but in Genesis 3, God's like, hey, Adam, what happened? I thought you were doing good. Oh, it was the lady's fault. Eve, what happened? I thought we were doing good. I thought we were understanding. Oh, no, it was the snake's fault. See, look, they blame it on somebody else. They blame somebody else. Look, Jesus even tells a story. Jesus tells a story of this employee, this servant who had a master. And the master's like, hey, I gave you a bunch of money. Why didn't you do anything with it? You're supposed to do business. He's like, but then the employee's like, but I know, boss. I know you gave me money to make more money and do business. But I was scared because you're mean. Everybody else's fault. I'm just too sad to get up and do good. My family's too messed up. They don't understand me. Well, of course, nobody understands you. You're weird. You could say that about me, too. I'm not trying to bully nobody. You could turn here, Ephesians 4:25. There's a verse, and I love it because it's so simple. I think anybody can understand it. And it says, Ephesians 4:25, the Bible says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with your neighbor. Because we're members of one another. It says, look, we're all in this together. We got to get along. We got to stop blaming each other. We got to stop pointing fingers at. We have to be on the same page. Because verse 26, this is where it gets really good. Verse 26 says, now, it says, look, be angry. Yeah, that's right. God said, be angry. Pick up that box. Ooh, anger. Ooh. God said, I could be mad at you. I'm mad at you, Mom. I'm angry. Miss Smith. But then the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry, but don't sin. Yeah, that was a bad kick. That's why I'm not in soccer. See, the Bible says don't ignore it, but don't let it stick around to become your excuse. Don't let it be the reason you do bad, stupid, dumb, regretful things. See, all Adam had to do was fess up. All Eve had to do was fess up. Because anytime you make something your excuse, you say, I want to hang on to this problem a little bit longer. Wait, you didn't hear that. Anytime you make an excuse, you say, I want to hold on to this problem a little bit longer. It's true. As long as you're making, while you're making excuses, you might as well just set up camp, bring in your bed, put a nightlight, because you're staying there. You're not going anywhere, as long as you keep that excuse. As long as you blame it on something. That's something sticking around. Chances are, if you're blaming it on that something, you don't want it around because it's expired. So don't blame it on your emotions because you're getting rid of the old and you're taking it somewhere. See, you can't let your emotions be an excuse. I guess number two, you'd have to say this is if number one was don't let be your emotions be an excuse to you, then you can't then you've got to let your emotions speak to you, not for you. See, that's why emotions are important. That's why you need them. That's why you can't ignore them, because you need to listen to them. Because your emotions will tell you something. I remember hearing this story of this about this rare disease of a little girl. Maybe you've heard it. This little girl was born and she couldn't feel pain. You remember that? I mean, literally, her mom had to follow her around in the playground and check her body every day and strip her down and check her body as a little girl every day to see if there's any type of cut, any type of bruise. Because they said literally she had to wear goggles because one time she got sand stuck in her eye, but it didn't hurt. So she never took the sand out and her eye got scratched because the sand stayed in there for days until her eye swole up because she couldn't feel it. She couldn't feel the pain. She had broken her leg one time, and she kept on walking on it because she didn't know it was broken. She couldn't feel pain. She couldn't hear her body screaming, hey, something's wrong. See, that's what emotions are. Emotions are the thing that God has given you to tell you, hey, you need to think about this. When you're sad, when you feel sad, God's saying, hey, look, you need to think about this. Something's happening in your life that needs to change, that you need to share with somebody. Something happened that's not right, that needs to be addressed. When you're angry, whoa, whoa, something's going on. Because God needs you to be angry sometimes. We need to be angry at things that are wrong so angry people can rise up and make what's wrong right. Jesus was angry. Jesus was sad. Jesus was happy. Jesus played tag with little kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, Jesus did emotions, but he did them the right way. Be angry. Oh, but don't sin. So you need to listen to that. What's wrong? What God's trying to get my attention. It's the exclamation mark that says, oh, what I just said was important. What's in here? Oh, my gosh. That's in there. I thought that was years ago when that happened. And it's still in there? Well, maybe I need to deal with it. Because it stinks. Deer foams. Really? Deer foams? That sounds like that would smell horrible. After a couple of years, I don't want these. Attention, hosiery department? That's ridiculous. I can't believe I've been hanging on this for so long. This is crap. You see, listen to your emotions. But see, let them speak to you, not for you. The problem happens when you stop carrying the bag of trash and the bag of trash starts carrying you. See, what happens is we don't deal with emotions, so all of a sudden, you get pushed to the edge, and you will bust somebody's window. And then you do. I don't know what happened. Oh, that's because your emotions are speaking for you. It just came out. I just slammed. My fist accidentally went through the wall. Whoops. Whoops. Sorry. See, emotions shouldn't speak for you. But when they start coming up, you need to stand up. The Bible says this word, be sober and vigilant. I love what it says in Psalm 138, 3. Do you guys have that up there? I want to read you two verses real quick here. And they're both in Psalms. Do you have 138? Oh, cool. Then and I'm going to turn to Psalm 42 real quick. But keep that one up there because that's a good one. I want to read it. In Psalm 138, the Bible says this. It says, in the day I cried out, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Right there. The king of the earth shall praise you, Lord. What? They hear the words of your mouth? Here. He said, go back to the other one. The day I cried out to you, you answered me. Made me bold with strength. You see, he said right here, I cried out. You answered me. He cried out because there was pain inside him. He says, you made me bold with strength in my soul. The soul, the part of him, the emotions of him began to get out of control, and God took control of that. And then it says the next one, he says he began to speak. This verse here, 42, Psalm 42, if that doesn't make sense, this will make sense. In Psalm 42 here, verse 5 and 6, David here writes, he says, why are you cast down, my soul? He's talking to himself like a crazy man. Why am I so sad? That's weird. Why are you disquieted within me? Then he talks to himself. He says, look, I need to hope in God because I shall yet praise him, even though he's depressed, for the help of his countenance, because God's presence, his face is there. Oh, my God. Now he's talking to God. Oh, my God. My soul, my feelings, my emotions are cast down. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do, because I know I'm in a bad place. He says, I am going to remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Now, I don't know what about Hermon and Mizar and Jordan. You don't got to worry about that. You can say, I'm going to praise you from the heights of Grand Terrace and the hills of the Highlands and down in the hood in Mentone. I'm going to be all up in there, God, all up in that. From the top of the quad, the tippy topest of stairs, I will cry out. Because my soul is downcast. He recognized something was wrong inside of him, and it caused him to have an action that was appropriate. Hey, I'm feeling pretty bad about myself. I shouldn't, because I know my God is a ball. Yeah, that's why I'm, yeah, I don't know. I was part of the worship team for one day. And that's a true story. And then I wasn't the next day. Don't let your emotions be an excuse. Let your emotions speak to you, not for you. David knew he was depressed. He knew his emotions were screaming at him. And so you got a broken leg emotionally. You got sand in your eye emotionally. You're about to do something dumb. So you need to act right. So he spoke to him, not for him. And then lastly, it's kind of where we've been leading up to right here, is don't let your emotions become your slave master. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to himself. What does that mean? That means you're in control. That means you're in charge. That means the devil didn't make you do it. No, the devil did not make you do it. The Twinkie did not make you do it. There was this case where this guy said he killed somebody because of the Twinkie. He had a Twinkie and it elevated his sugar level, so he started shooting people at a... But yeah, anyway, it was pretty dumb. They called it the Twinkie defense, and it kind of worked. The Twinkie didn't make him do it. The devil didn't make you do it. I mean, you may be dumb, and you may have the devil in you sometimes. No, probably not. But the Bible says the spirit of the prophet. That's you. You're a prophet because you speak God's word, I would hope. It's subject to you. So don't make excuses. Don't let your anger speak for you. Don't let your depression speak. Don't let your confusion speak for you. Don't let your disappointment. Don't let your frustration speak for you. No, no, no. Don't let it be your slave master. Another verse in 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, look, all things are lawful. I can do this and that. But you know what? I refuse to be brought under the power of anything. I will not be brought under the power of anything. I will not be brought under the power of any emotions. I've said this before. Emotions are a good slave, but a poor slave master. You need to be in charge, not your feelings or emotions. Let it speak to you, not for you. Don't let it be an excuse that stops you. Because when you make it an excuse, you put it in charge. When you let it speak for you, you put it in charge. And you work for your fear. It tells you what to do, and you gladly do it. And then it pays you in more fear. Could you imagine that? Having fear be your master. And every 2 weeks, they give you a paycheck. Here's more fear. Hey, be scared. Worry about this now. Yeah, worry about that. That guy looked at you kind of weird. You should worry about that. That girl? Yeah. They're laughing. You walk into a room, people start laughing. Is there something wrong? Am I fly down? My shoes? Did they hear? That trips me all the time. People start laughing. I was like, I don't know. What are they laughing at? What did I do? I hate you. And the anger comes up. I want to punch you. 1 Peter 1:13. Turn here. Last verse. Shut it down. We're done. 1 Peter. Let me get the band up here. Oh, that'd be so good. Let me get the band up here. I've been wanting to say that for a while. If the band is here, I know. I didn't tell them about this. Surprise! Oh, Pastor Joe's not here. He's preaching. Whatever. If we don't need Pastor Joe, I'll sing. No, I won't. Don't worry. Don't let emotions be your slave master. 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. Ah, this verse is really interesting. It has such a picture. It says, therefore, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Back then, they used to wear really long shirts and tunics. So it was really kind of hard to run in. Ladies, I don't know if you ever tried to run in a maxi skirt. Because, you know, I haven't. What they would do is if they were going to get in a battle, because, you know, they had all this shirt up in the way, they would have their belt and they would tuck it into their belt so they could fight unencumbered. So they could fight without anything getting in the way. It just basically turned them into battle shorts. And that's when they gird up their loins, they would just tuck it in so they could fight. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Oh, your emotions, your will. Gird it up. Get it ready to fight, because every day, old expectations and every day depression, every day fear, and every day worry, and every day anxiety, and every day trying, you know, feelings of inadequacy. These emotions are going to flood over you several times a day, and old thoughts and memories are going to come up, and they're going to come up. And the Bible says, gird the loins of your mind. Get ready to battle and to kick it down and to deal with it, not to ignore it and not to hang on to it like it's treasure, but to do something with it. You see, a trash bag was never meant to be the final destination of trash. Trash is put into a bag so you can take it somewhere. It's a conveyance.
What?
Say what, Pastor Richard? No, it's meant to transport things. You put trash in the bag to put the bag in the bucket so the truck can come and take the bucket and move it somewhere far, far away. This trash is not an excuse. You're ignoring it. Trash shouldn't speak to you. Speak for you. And it shouldn't be your slave master, because then you treasure it. Your emotions are meant to be moved somewhere. And every day, before it expires, you take it to the cross. That's where all trash goes. You see, the cross was a place where trash was meant to be brought and left. Where sin died, where trash is taken to be dealt with. So whenever you feel those emotions and those challenges coming in, go through them. Cry, get the ugly face, let the mucos run down your nose. If you're happy, love the joy, laugh it up, joke it up, do cartwheels. If you're frustrated, be frustrated, because something's going wrong. Let it speak to you. And once you hear the message that God's trying to speak to you through your emotions, frustrated. Oh, well, then you need to stop doing this. Oh, okay, all right. I'm crying. I'm hurt. My heart is broken. God's trying to take you somewhere with that emotion to him. Could you imagine, and I'm done, could you imagine a car accident where people are hurt? Somebody calls 911. We have an emergency. The ambulance runs up, and the paramedics jump out of the ambulance, and the guy in the car says, oh no, the ambulance is here. Run! No. You see, that's what their emotions are doing. They're telling you need somebody to help you, especially fear, depression. It's your body crying out, 911. And then God sends somebody, how are you feeling? Fine. What's wrong? Nothing. It's like you're running away from the paramedics. I'm so shameful. I don't want to go to church. They'll know. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like. You're running from the paramedics. Let your emotions lead you to the cross. Because it's there. Every hurt is healed. Every happiness is turned to joy. That sticks with you. Every frustration finds an answer. Every insecurity is bound up with the truth that God has made you secured, unshakable. Every disappointment is met with a new hope and promise. Every hurt finds healing when those emotions lead you to the cross. Pain leads you to the first aid kit. It leads you to a doctor. It leads you to healing. Let emotions be that for you. Otherwise, you end up with a life filled with expired trash. Piles and piles, car fulls, trash cans fulls, dumpster fulls. You know, tonight, let's do this. If you're in this place and you have trash to bring to the altar,